It's time to play like a Jet with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone, wide open, touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson! And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle, and there he goes! Crowder! It's a foot race, and Crowder is in there! A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that is?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh!
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time to talk about the midweek news and notes surrounding the New York Jets here on this bye week with the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, let's start with Jeremy Fowler's report over at ESPN, which is that Marcus May very well could be on the block before the trade deadline. Now, we know his agent will be happy about that, but obviously, I don't know what the Jets could get here because May is in a lot of hot water. We know about the DUI, plus he's already injured. What could the Jets possibly get that would make it worthwhile? I will say, though, they did get a fourth-round pick for Chris Herndon, so anything's possible. Maybe if a team like Tampa or the Rams, which are the two teams that Fowler specifically listed in his report, want May and think he could be that final piece for a Super Bowl run, possibly you could get a fourth-round pick or something, and at that point you'd probably take it. But I just don't know what you're getting for Marcus May at this point, considering all the craziness that's surrounding him, including the injury, the DUI, the not notifying the team. His value can't be very high right now.
I'm with you. I don't know what Marcus – I don't even know where to begin. Like, but if they got a fourth for Chris Herndon, then they can get like 40 fourths for Marcus May even after the DUI. Or they could get like, if I'm using that as the gauge, they should be getting a couple firsts, but then we know that's not how it's going to happen. I couldn't imagine anything higher than a third. It would also probably depend on how many teams are, interested. If there's only one team really trying and they can't convince that team that there's a second team, then a fourth or a fifth is probably as best you're going to get. If you can pin two or three teams against each other, you might be able to get that third. I think that you probably could have gotten a second if it wasn't for the DUI stuff in that same instant scenario. But so I think you get looking at is a third, probably a fourth, a fifth is more likely though.
Even though the Jets are not going to be in action this week, they're still making moves. And one of those moves was to get rid of Sheldrick Redwine. He was on the active roster for a few weeks at safety. Absolutely terrible. His most notable play was getting annihilated by Robbie Anderson and burned for a touchdown in week one. He got downgraded to the practice squad. Now he's gone. The Jets in his place have grabbed offensive lineman Drew Samia and signed him to the practice squad. The thing about Drew Samia that's interesting is I have no idea how he did in Minnesota. I'm going to guess it wasn't that good if he was available to be picked up here. But I remember liking him a lot coming out of college. He was a fourth-round pick. I wanted the Jets to take him instead of trading down and getting Trevon Wesco. So I guess now they get their opportunity with him to try and mold him into something. He's a young guy, showed some talent coming out of college. We know that Redwine isn't giving the Jets anything, so why not at this point, especially considering all the injuries that the Jets have on the offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, bring in all the help you can get, but you're not going to – also, you're not going to find any help that's really going to help at this point there. But I'm for it, and yeah, letting Sheldrick Redwine go, yeah, that's absolutely do that because he wasn't bringing anything to you anyway. So go ahead and try out some more people. But yeah, just for fans, keep those expectations low because you're not picking guys up off the street in week five that are going to be able to come in and help on the offensive line. That's just not how that tends to work.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's talk about what's been said by Zach Wilson, Connor McGovern, and Robert Saleh so far this week during these pressers. Zach Wilson said the Jets need to establish something in the first half of games. He's been watching film back, says he needs to make more throws. On the easy misses, he says that it's the byproduct of him overthinking instead of just throwing it. Said he's been aiming some of those throws, going through a little robotic phase, needs to just put it to a spot and let it fly. Also said that Elijah Moore is a baller, and sooner or later, people are going to see just how talented he is. We know the story with Elijah Moore, the star of training camp, and then so far, he hasn't been able to do a lot. And I would argue that Zach Wilson and the coaching staff are part of the reason, because we found out this week that Elijah Moore ranks among the top of the league in receivers who are getting open on a play-to-play basis. So I think that the Jets really have to start devising plays for Elijah Moore and getting him more involved. We'll get into that in a little bit when we talk about Robert Saleh's comments. But what Zach Wilson said here, Chris, makes a lot of sense to me. It felt mental when I was watching him. You could just see it. He's thinking too much. He's trying too hard on those easy throws instead of just letting it happen. I joked with you. Reminds me a little bit of Happy Gilmore, where he was smashing it off the tee and it was going a million miles. And then when he would have an easy putt, he just couldn't make it. And this isn't something that was on Zach Wilson's tape. With Josh Allen, this was baked into the cake, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we get into Robert Saleh's comments. So you knew this is something you were going to have to deal with. This wasn't an issue for Zach Wilson at BYU, so that's a big reason why I think this is largely mental. It's not something that shouldn't be able to be fixed relatively easily if Wilson buckles down and if the coaching staff works with him, but at least they recognize the problem, and I assume they're going to spend a significant portion of the bye week trying to make it better.
They better spend every waking second. I know Zach is going back to spend time with his family and to work with his personal quarterback coach, which this is probably a conversation for another day, but we got to do something about these private quarterback coaches. And this isn't anything against John Beck and Zach Wilson working, but you know, I've seen enough of Jordan Palmer's work in the past to know that I don't trust that these quarterback coaches are doing what's in the best interest for the quarterbacks. But again, different subjects for a different day. The short passes thing is just baffling. And it's alarming, honestly, at this point. The first couple of weeks of seeing it, I was like, all right, you know, nerves, rookie stuff. 5 weeks in, we shouldn't still be seeing it. And at first, there was a couple of them where I'm looking, especially in the Titans game, I was at the stadium looking at the all 22 view I'm watching. And there's a couple times where, like, he's got the running back on like a swing and then another receiver running a little out route from the slot. And he's looking at both of them. And it's like he couldn't decide which one to throw it to, so he just ends up throwing it straight down the middle, not near either of them. But some of them, the only thing that makes sense is mental, like, a hiccups a type of thing, a Chuck Knoblock type of situation, you know? Mm. Or he's got the yips. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense. To be that off on these short little tiny throws, like, that there's no other explanation. So he's overthinking the yips. That's what the yips are. That's what it is. You know, everybody that's ever gotten out of the yips has a different way for how they went about getting it out. And you know, it's probably most likely the best answer is really just like a lot of things in life. You just kind of have to write it out until you get out somehow. But that's a hard thing to do while you are playing in NFL games. I don't know what the answer is, but they have to find it quick, because I don't care about you could be great at everything else. If you can't do that at all, that's going to be a problem. And the longer it goes, the bigger of a problem it becomes, and, you know, might be harder to turn around, get deeper and deeper in your own head. So that is definitely something that they got to figure out. The Elijah Moore thing, you know, I'm not worried about that long term, especially, yes, you need to get him more than 16, you know, reps in a game. But also, he was coming off the concussion, and then they flew to London. They had a short week of practice. So he didn't get a practice the week before, and they got a very limited amount of practice in London. So they just didn't, like, he wasn't going to get the reps that week, no matter what. That's just, there's a lot of things you can go ahead and with the coaching staff, especially the Mims stuff, go absolutely put all on them. But playing Elijah Moore last week, I don't think would have been different in almost any other coaching staff, coming off the concussion and then flying to London for a short week of practices. For a rookie, we're not talking about, you know, a veteran receiver here, a rookie. They want to see him practice. So you're going to get to see more there, especially coming off the bye. But the big thing there, and this is the other criticism I have of Zach, is he needs to stop locking on to Corey Davis. I talked about this a lot during training camp. It was every day. It was just Corey Davis. And it was working, so there was no reason to think anything bad about it. But A, Corey Davis has kind of let him down at times with some drops. But B, also, you got other people getting open. Elijah Moore is getting open. He is doing a little too much locking in and just strictly focusing on Corey Davis. He needs to get out and scan the field a little bit more and be able to find Elijah Moore getting open. Because like you said and mentioned, 82% of the time he's getting open. Like, he's getting open. There's going to be plays to be made there. Quarterback needs to find them.
And Chris, just to put a bow on the Zach Wilson story, he wasn't missing like this in training camp on easy throws, and he wasn't missing like this on easy throws in the preseason. So that to me adds even more to the theory that this is largely mental. Like you said, they've really got to get this figured out quickly, and I think they're going to work diligently on it over the bye week. Robert Saleh also spoke to the press on giving up touchdown passes with Bryce Huff and John Franklin Myers in pass coverage. Saleh said zone pressures have been working for the Jets all season. First time anyone noticed their defensive ends in coverage. When it works, you're a genius. When it doesn't, you're an idiot. Atlanta, the first team to exploit this. What happens at linebacker when Jared Davis is ready? Looks like it'll be Mosley and Davis as the top two linebackers, meaning Quincy Williams could drop a peg. Davis will get full game reps when he's healthy, said Saleh. When healthy, he is a starter in this league. I'm not so sure I love that answer from him, because if Quincy Williams is still playing great, I would say ride the hot hand, especially when it's Jared Davis, but I guess we'll see how that plays out. Saleh disagrees with the roughing call on Williams. We'll get to the point where we get the benefit of the doubt on those plays. Right now, it's an uphill battle. I think he was censoring himself there, didn't want to get fined. On the Mekhi Becton Unleash Mims tweet during the game, says he didn't even know about it until today's Zoom call, doesn't think it was malicious at all. Asked if he will use the bye week to rectify the Mims situation, Saleh said, I don't know if there's anything to rectify in that relationship. Praises, quote, Mimsy, I guess that's what he called him, and says he's earning his reps and he'll continue to do so. Said the reason that Elijah Moore's playing time was limited is because the offense didn't have that many plays for him. That, to me, is a very strange answer. So we'll go through all of this, Chris. Like I said, if Quincy Williams is still playing well, I would strongly consider keeping him where he is. As far as Huff and John Franklin Myers getting caught in coverage, I guarantee you that the other teams were watching that. They're going to be looking at that tape. So Saleh is not going to have the luxury of getting that cute very often anymore. It worked out okay the first few games, but finally Atlanta exploited it, and I'm sure other teams will if they get the opportunity. On the roughing call, we both know that call was ridiculous, but Saleh can't just come right out and say it because he probably doesn't want to pay the league $50,000. I agree with him. I don't think Becton's Unleash Mims tweet during the game was malicious, but I do think that it probably spoke for a lot of the guys in the locker room who are likewise perplexed that Denzel Mims is not getting more opportunities when the offense is struggling so much. as far as the Mims situation and rectifying it. Obviously, he's not going to try and make this into anything above and beyond what people have speculated, but clearly there's something going on there with Mims and the coaching staff. As Kim Jones of NFL Network said, I hope they work it out because they desperately need somebody with Mims' skill set, size, and speed at this point, especially when you've got Zach Wilson, who's struggling on the easy throws and is prominently making plays vertically right now. Mims is one of the best weapons the Jets have in that regard, so they've got to find ways to get him more involved in the offense. And Elijah Moore, same thing. I really don't like the answer that they didn't have enough plays for Elijah Moore. Figure out a way to utilize this guy. Again, Zach Wilson struggling, Elijah Moore arguably your most dynamic guy because of his speed and his shiftiness, his quick footwork. Find ways to work Elijah Moore into those plays. I know he's getting open, but jet sweeps, whatever it takes, just get him involved in the game plan, him and Mims. So, Chris, what do you think about all these comments? Saladin straight up come right out and say that the Jets are going to find more ways to integrate Moore and Mims. And I didn't love that fact, to be perfectly honest, because as I said, going forward, especially with the fact that the Jets are scoring 2.5 points on average in the first half, and this offense just isn't getting going enough, they have got to get out to faster starts, and Moore and Mims, I would think, based on their skill sets, would help a lot in that regard if used properly.
I'm just going to be as clear as I can about this. At this point, I have zero interest in anything Robert Saleh has to say about Mims. I don't would trust or believe a single word that's coming out of his mouth about it. He just keeps talking, saying the same stuff. At least he's not talking about a great week of practice anymore. But I'm just, it doesn't make sense. These receivers you got out there aren't doing good enough. You need playmakers. You need people to make plays and get open. And like, it does, there's no explanation. If everything that he's said to us is true, then he should be getting more reps right now. We should have seen it. I say this all the time. Coaches lie. Coaches and GMs lie. That's part of their job when they're talking to the media. They're supposed to lie. I mean, they're definitely not supposed to give us the truth, because otherwise they're going to end up giving us like game plan stuff. So I'm not knocking him for it. Yeah, I guess that really it's more of just like, I wish other reporters would stop asking him about it, because we're not getting anything close to a truthful answer on this at all. Like, he keeps talking about working his way up and earning reps, and it's not happening. And the people in front of him aren't doing anything to like stave him off. It'd be one thing if all these other guys in front of them were playing great and the offense is clicking and humming. They can't. They've got like getting like 7 yards in the first quarter. Like, that's what we're talking about here. I think they have like 81 total first quarter yards. Like, it's absurd. The offense is struggling so much, and you keep telling me about how he's earning these reps, and they're not coming while the offense is completely struggling. Something's off. Something's not adding up. The more he gives us this stuff on Mims, the less I am inclined to believe anything else he says about anything else. That's really where we're at. And again, I come into these pressers knowing what we're in for, knowing to take everything with a grain of salt, but you can't just keep here saying stuff like this to our face like that. Us watching, you know, we're watching the game, and now expect me to believe anything else you're saying. So, the whole thing with the John Franklin Myers Huff dropping back in coverage, with the John Franklin Myers one, that was just simple goal line. They sold out to protect the edges, mm-hmm. and the Falcons passed the ball. That happens all the time. You've seen it happen in every coaching staff you ever seen get caught up on that on occasion. You gamble. And the goal line, you say, oh, we think they're going to run it. We're going to sell out for that. And they got beat. The Bryce Huff one was different. Saleh explained. And that that explanation I buy. But yeah, you got it. That's one of those things. Your job as a coach is to kind of know when, like, okay, we haven't got caught on this yet, but eventually someone's going to catch us on this. I definitely agree with him on the roughing the passer. In fact, I'm ready to go take this a step further and say we need to abolish roughing the passer penalties at this point, at least on third downs. You know, I get it. You want to protect the quarterbacks. I understand this. But the Chiefs-Bills game the other night, there was a huge one. I've seen so many drives and so many games swing on a bad roughing the passer penalty. It's like, you know how we talk about this a lot about with pass interferences deep down the field, how there was a stretch. It's been calm a little bit on it lately, but there was a stretch where it just felt like the refs were just bailing out bad offense by throwing that flag. And that's now seems to be what's happening with roughing the passer penalties, especially on third downs. And then I'll also take it a step further and say we need to get on the abolish just refs in general, and we need robots. Like, I keep seeing people tweet out baseball picture where they have like ball four and the graph of it, and it's right smack dab in the middle of the plate. Just full out robot refs at this point. Abolish roughing the passer at least on third and fourth downs, and full out robot refs. So yeah, that's my stances on all that. And then yeah, I absolutely agree that you need to get more and Mims more involved. I think that's going to happen again. I understood it last week because of the concussion, coming off the concussion, the short week there, but this is also going to be largely on Zach to find him because he is getting open.
I'm not hating the idea of robot refs, to be honest with you, Chris. I think it'd be kind of cool. Plus, you could sell robot ref action figures, which is a huge bonus, and you would think it would put a lot of money into the league's pockets. And you would save a lot of money, too, on the referees and their salaries. So something to think about. And now I'm thinking about trying to write a TV series based on this. So maybe, Chris, after we finish recording, we can start working on a pilot series about robot refs. We could just call it Robot Refs. I think that would work. Connor McGovern spoke as well, by the way, and he said that the good news is that the offense's slow starts are fixable, which is pretty good news, but it's something that needs to be fixed and fixed now. Also said that the coolest thing about Wilson is that he never lets anything break his confidence. Everybody believes in him. Every week we expect bigger and better things from Wilson, a guy who's going to be around a long time making spectacular plays. We should also add that Robert Saleh, who we addressed before, also compared Wilson to Josh Allen, saying that Allen got off to a really rough start, was missing easy, simple throws, just like Wilson is right now, and look at Allen. So that means that this can happen with a rookie quarterback and he can recover. I understand the comparison's not perfect, and as I've said a couple of times, a big difference is that with Josh Allen, you knew it was baked into the cake that he wasn't making those types of throws. With Wilson, that wasn't anywhere on his tape, so you weren't expecting this, and that's a huge difference. But the general point that you can be a rookie QB, have these mental yips, and then come back from it is certainly the truth. So, Chris, we've got Connor McGovern with his vote of confidence for Zach Wilson. Same thing with Robert Saleh. Obviously, this is exactly what you would expect them to say, but they said what you thought they would, and this is a presser midweek, and that's more or less what you're going to get.
But just a little advice to Robert Saleh and every other coach and every other person that ever talk about quarterbacks in the NFL. Don't use somebody else but Josh Allen. Don't use Josh Allen as the example here, because Josh Allen is the outlier of all outliers. We have never, ever seen a quarterback take the leap in improvement as we have with Josh Allen. So you don't use that as your comparison, because you're absolutely right. Of course, we've seen lots of quarterbacks struggle and get a little yippish and struggle and then right the ship later on. That can happen. But there's going to be a whole lot of people getting themselves fired over this next 5 to 10 years, because they're going to be looking at somebody who's not good enough and isn't cutting it and going, we can fix them. They fixed Josh Allen. So just use a different quarterback. Don't go the Josh Allen route. The Connor McGovern thing, this is the saving grace of what I have to try to make Jets fans feel as good as possible. You know, players, they're always going to tend to back up their quarterback and talk about them publicly, you know, support them. But players don't go and offer things up about their rookie quarterbacks quite the same way that we've seen with this team. I'm thinking about week one, CJ Mosley just being like, nah, this kid's going to be fine. Like, the way that these players believe in him, it's different than anything I've seen. I can't compare it to the league for every other quarterback. And obviously, you know, the quarterbacks I have seen haven't panned out so well. But the praise that Sam Darnold was getting, it wasn't the same. The players that would back up and support Sam Darnold, they weren't bringing the same type of energy to it with Zach Wilson. These players do genuinely believe that Zach Wilson is going to be a good quarterback. Now, they could be wrong. They could be wrong. But they believe it more than I've ever seen teammates believe it. That much I can guarantee you. They believe in this kid. And the short throws, it's baffling what's going on. It doesn't make sense. But you do have to give him credit, because he is unflappable. It does not seem to be bothered by anything. He's not getting down on himself, beating himself up too much. He doesn't, like, you don't get this, even when things are kind of spiraling, snowballing, you're like, okay, what's the, you get scared on every throw, because, you know, that's how it goes. And it's also baked into your DNA at this point as a Jets fan, things start going bad. But it's not the same feeling as the other quarterbacks in the past, where you just felt like they had given up and they were already defeated and they were already thinking about the next mistake they were going to make. It doesn't have that same feeling. So there's your hope that things can get turned around. That's what I can offer you. That's the best I got for you guys at this point.
And now, you know, the midweek news, courtesy of the owner, the operator, the lead reporter, the whole shebang over at JetsInsider.com. And above all that, a very big deal, Mr. Chris Nimbley. Chris, thank you so much for coming on, as always. Really appreciate it. Check out everything Chris is doing at JetsInsider.com and follow him on Twitter at CNimbley and at JetsInsider. Check out everything we're doing at PlayLikeAJet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Luke Grant's got some great breakdowns of all 22 footage involving the Jets defensive line, Zach Wilson, and a whole lot more. So check out our videos and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, check out our store at teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. We've got the Zach Says Go Long shirt with him pointing downfield like he did with Corey Davis in the Tennessee Titans game. We've also got the John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, Bless You, Thank You shirt, the Zach the Ripper shirt, the Play Like a Jet logo shirt. It's all available right now at the Play Like a Jet store over at teepublic.com. Just search for Play Like a Jet and give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and PlayLikeAJet.com.